Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
So good. Speaking of Edwards, appreciate them sponsoring Rick for so many years. Yes, good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys get around. You're gonna be in Statesboro, Georgia to do a show?
We're gonna Jonesboro is where we're gonna stay. It's in Atlanta. It's Hampton, Georgia is where the Atlantis Motor Speedway is. They call it now Echo Park Speedway. Yeah. And, we call it our Summer of Adventures, brought to you by Oaklawn, and we're just trying different things. We've picked five restaurants. I think we told you that.
Yeah.
And so we'll be on the third one tomorrow. They're all different parts of the state, Rick. I mean, they're literally, if you did a map, it's like a star. It's going from one side. The only place we don't go is Northwest. We're going to Mena, which is on the far, west side, the southwest side of the state. Mariana, as you know, Dirt Winston came from the far east side of the state.
Yeah.
We were in Camden, which you know where Camden
is.
Yeah,
sure.
Sean Andrews came from there. We're going to Blytheville for the Dixie Pick, and then we were in Hot Springs for the Ohio Club. So we're all over the place, but we love it. We love our state.
Absolutely.
And we've got some unbelievable coverage and attention to it. So many listeners and other people can tell stories. We had one, Rick, last week. A couple of gentlemen said our dads used to take us when we were 6 years old to sit on the same stools that are here now in the 1940s.
Yeah, he said 1940.
Yeah, 1940s. Wow. We just, love the history of our state. Yeah. We're not to pat ourselves on the back, but no other show wants to do what we love doing. We're older. We're senior citizens, Rick, like you.
That's right.
We appreciate it, Randy. We appreciate
we're
the
just holding out for a better gift from AARP than that mesh luggage. That's all.
So you hear something crazy? So when Jessica, my girlfriend, booked us this VRBO because the race is in 2 weeks on a Saturday night and Sunday night, we didn't want to stay in the town because it's just so overwhelmed with 150,000 race fans. And then you got the World Cup in Atlanta. So she picked a place called Jonesboro, Georgia.
Hmm.
And little did we know, Roger, with only a population of 4,000, I just said, let me see what Jonesboro is about. It's got two connections with two pop culture iconic things. One of them is that Tara, the fictional plantation in Margaret Mitchell's novel Gone was supposed to be located 5 miles outside of Jonesboro, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Okay. No, wait a minute. You mean the fictional one?
The fictional, that's right.
Did they actually built it for the movie there?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know just it was part of the storyline. But
In the Margaret Mitchell.
That's right. Today is the day that came out. The book came out, Roger, 1936.
Really?
Yeah. And then to top it off, this is so perfect for us. In Jonesboro, Georgia, many of the scenes from the 1977 film, Roger, Smokey and the Bandit, were filmed in Jonesboro,
no
Georgia.
Kidding.
Are you
Is
kidding?
That right?
Are you kidding me? I mean, it's right up our alley.
You know what? I read something about Bert this morning that some of it was filmed at his ranch in Florida. Yeah. I had no idea.
Apparently, a lot of the pictures.
Well, guess what? We're going by there. We're going to do those pictures that you see on social media right now, Rick. People will be, then and now.
Even the movie We Are Marshall was briefly filmed at the stadium, high school stadium
really?
There in Jonesboro. Yeah, how about that?
Right. Do you think you'll find an old Trans Am out there somewhere?
Yes,
you remember those. You remember those?
Oh gosh, that is still one of the hottest cars ever.
I know it was so cool.
Don't you think?
Ziggity diggity. No
question
about it.
If somebody brought one out today that looks similar to that, I think it would sell.
I'm with you. Well, anybody over the age of 50 probably, or 55 would appreciate it for sure.
Yeah.
Rick, I mentioned tomorrow we're going to have Dirt Winston on, who was from Mariana. Of course, Billy Winston was his brother. You remember Billy? You were there with Billy. But he did go on to have one of the most successful careers in the NFL. He was a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
He was a starting outside linebacker for one of the great defenses. Now, it wasn't that early part of that decade. It was the back half of it. But he still won two Super Bowls. And he was a bad man, wasn't he? What do you remember about him at Arkansas?
You know, it's interesting because he was a senior my first year at Arkansas.
Gotcha.
And so he was in that group that, it's interesting that Arkansas – integrated with John Richardson.
Yeah.
But it was really, three or four years later that a large group of black players came, and he was in that group. And they led really to the success of Arkansas in the mid-70s, the late 70s. Lou Holtz inherited a lot of them, but not Dennis Winston. He was finished in 76. Obviously, everybody remembers the USC game when he made 22 tackles and he made National Player of the Week and all of that. And that's one game. But it's interesting because I just got to know him some, yeah. and then he came back as an assistant coach
yeah,
later,
right.
and he was not a mean guy by any means, but on the field he was.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And so, and there are some players that can separate that, and some can't.
Right.
I mean, there are some that you don't want to be around them anytime.
Right.
And but Dennis was a really good guy to be around, but on the field, he would knock your head off. Don't you wonder if guys like he and Steve Atwater and could they play today?
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
now I'm not talking about their ability.
I'm talking
about the way they knock people silly.
It would be tough. And the thing about him, he was a little undersized from a height standpoint. It didn't matter because he could fly. He could fly.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a fast guy. Now the question was he called dirt? In Arkansas or after that? Where did he pick up the
deal? No,
remember?
He was called Dirt in Arkansas.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was 53, Roger, for the Steelers. What was he? What was his number for the Razorbacks?
I want to say 55.
I think that's right. I don't know off the top of my head.
You're right. He sent some pictures.
All right, he did. One other. Okay, let's do it. Who was the greatest 55 if you look at accomplishments for the Razorbacks? Go.
Dwayne Harris wore 55.
That's it.
Stop right there.
Yeah,
show's over.
You know, they didn't retire numbers back then, but as soon as I said Dennis Winston was 55, I thought Wayne Harris. But no, only two numbers have ever been retired. So, and those, you know, one of them was Clyde Scott, 12, and then Burlsworth. So, 55. Boy, if you wore that number after Wayne Harris did,
that's
you were
right.
something.
Right.
You know, you can get into all kinds of discussions. Clay Henry and I were talking about this when Terry Don Phillips passed. About Lloyd Phillips.
Yeah.
And you think about honoring players today, and I think there are those who would say, sure, Darren McFadden, maybe he was the greatest Razorback ever because he stayed healthy for his entire career. But on defense, it's unquestionably, I thought, Lloyd Phillips.
Yeah.
And
yet,
you know, Clay brought up, you got to count Wayne Harris in there because Wilson Matthews thought that Wayne Harris was just the epitome of the greatest how a great defensive player could play. Lloyd Phillips was a two-time All-America, won the Outland Trophy, and, you know, those guys are getting forgotten.
Yeah,
they're dying out. But I hope, as the athletic department, if they decide to honor numbers, as they honored Darren McFadden, I think Lloyd Phillips has got to be the next guy you got to honor. And you can't just keep saying, okay, it's got to be recent, it's got to be somebody that's alive, it's got to be somebody on a great team from the 90s or the 70s, or although that group gets overlooked a little bit too, but Lloyd Phillips was amazing. And Lloyd Phillips was 3-0 against Texas, and there aren't many Razorbacks that had that record.
Isn't that the truth? And I was going to go back. I went back and watched film back when I was in school. I guess maybe it was after that. I was thinking I somehow had access to some film about Wayne Harrison. You just talk about a fundamentally sound linebacker that could fly. He was fast. He reminded me like Ricky Williams, you know, who played with me. The ball snapped and he is. And if you go back and watch Dennis Winston with the Steelers, it's same thing. Dennis Winston was three steps ahead of everybody else. He's just so quick. And when you're a little undersized, you better be fast. You better be strong. And that's what Dennis Winston was.
Like you.
I tell you, one of the greatest compliments I used to get, Rick, you know, Ricky Williams was an all-decade player, you know, in my era. Mm-hmm. And the best compliment I get, it was his second year, and he and I were trading playing time. I was a starter, but he would get in and he would get a lot of snaps too. The greatest compliment was when Coach Goldsmith couldn't tell us apart. He would say, "Basil, you got to do better," and Ricky would go, "That's me, Coach," or vice versa. To me, that was a compliment. If a coach was getting picked, then that was my greatest compliment because Ricky was such a great linebacker. So anyway, I just we'll have him on tomorrow. I think Craig O'Neill will probably be losing his mind because, you know, Craig loves the Razorbacks, and I think him having Dirt on. And Dirt Winston's a great guy too, by the way. The other thing I was going to tell you, we had some fun last year talking about Cal Raleigh and about debating about he's having one of the greatest years ever in the history of baseball. The history of baseball last year, he almost, 60 home runs, and he almost tied, this was the most amazing stat, he almost tied Barry Bonds for the most home runs by All-Star break. I think Bonds was at either 38 or 39, and Cal Raleigh was at 37.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Rick, it is, he's had some injuries, but he's still playing 53 games, but he is only hitting 166. There have been people trying to figure out what's going on. It's just bizarre. I hate it for him because, you know, you're used to being, you know, almost the MVP, and then you're horrible.
It's a hard, hard game. Okay, so, and you can look at a lot of players, My first guy I think of, being a Baltimore Oriole fan, is Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson, 3 years or 2 years ago, I guess, beat out Bobby Witt Jr. to be the starting shortstop at the All-Star game. He was in the home run derby, and he ends up hitting 37 home runs that year. He hit 17 last year. Now, I think he's hit 16 or 17 this year. He's batting 224.
Yeah.
224. Now, I know that batting average is not regarded as important as it once was, but still, if you're one of the elite shortstops in the game, you got to be hitting 270 or better. And so I look at him, but you look at a lot of these guys and their batting averages and their production, and it goes up and down, not like Hal Raleigh.
Yeah,
I mean, there's something either mental, pitchers figured him out. That's the other thing, is pitchers start figuring out. And you got pitchers now that it used to be fastball, curveball, slider, maybe a changeup. Now they got 8 or 9 pitches, slurves and sweepers. And
wow, never heard of that.
What's a slurve?
It's slider curve.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's got some of both. And so you're up there looking at 8 or 9.
Nerd
that's
alert.
That's what's got to be in the hitter's mind. And all you have to do is watch one game on TV sometime with an elite pitcher or even an average pitcher throwing. And these guys, the ball is everywhere. You wonder how they ever hit it. It's just amazing. So,
yeah, he's got eight home runs.
He had one before he got hurt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So he's come back and hit a few.
Yeah,
but
has,
the point
yeah.
is, it's a tough game played by elite players who have up and down years. And the quick key for Cal Raleigh is, I think he's still only 29 years old.
Yeah.
What does he do next year? And can he finish strong this year? And if he does, fine. But look at Roger Maris. He had 61 home runs 1 year. He never hit 40 in any other year.
Yeah. Well, he was one of those. His hair was falling out,
smoking and drinking.
We compared Raleigh to him last year in that it's bizarre. I'm telling you, you hit 60 home runs. I mean, the guy had not hit more than 34 in his entire life in a season. He hit 60. And so, anyway, I just thought that was crazy.
So Rick, then, just to be clear, I mean, Baz is still standing firm where he is, and we'll wait and see.
He's not
the most accusatory person there is.
I didn't say he did. I just said it piqued my interest about possible enhancement.
Do you not question that at all, or you say, let's give it another year, you've got to have two or three. Okay.
Major League Baseball tests.
Okay.
Major League Baseball tests. Harder than they ever had. You see guys that get suspended for a lot of games. There's no usage of drugs right
Somebody's
now.
Somebody's trying to always MLB. Build a better mousetrap.
Yeah, that's right. Have there been some people suspended the last few years because of drug use?
Steroid use?
Yeah.
You lose half a season.
So guys are still trying. Yeah. Guys are still trying. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only a handful. You got to be a total idiot to do it because they do test.
And that's the only reason I said it piqued my interest because it was so bizarre. Because I went back and looked, the Barry Bonds year was so ridiculous. I mean, the guy almost hit 80 home runs.
Yeah.
You know, and so this guy, and then Cal Raleigh comes up, had hit 34 home runs in his entire career, and he almost matches Barry Bonds' half a season of 30.
Now, Cal Raleigh had hit over 30 home runs twice before.
Yeah, 34 and 30, but still, it's a long way from 60.
Well,
still,
absolutely. They're looking on his website. They're checking if, did he purchase a Wizenator or any of those type things out there.
Hey,
what is this for?
Last thing,
I got to tell you, I'm a naive guy. I don't even know what a Wizenator is.
Last thing before we let you go, and do want to thank Edwards Food Giant, which we found out, Roger found out.
Yeah, thanks to Gary Proffitt.
Yeah, Gary Proffitt let us know that, obviously with Edwards Food Giant, that the home headquarters is in Marianna. So we'll go by and take a picture there. Yeah,
Ain't that something?
Yeah, we'll go by and take some pictures.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say real quick, so we've started this Mount Rushmore of hateable villains on movies because I watched Patriot last night with Mel Gibson and the really – sadistic British colonel.
British guy.
Yeah, William Tavington, played by Jason Isaacs, is such a hateable character. He kills two of Mel Gibson's kids, and he locks a bunch of people inside a church, burns them to death. Of course, it's all fictional.
But anyway, is there one that stands out? You know, we mentioned Mr. Potter from Wonderful Life. And what?
My son-in-law threw out this guy, Percy from Wetmore. Shawshank, from Green Mile. Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Ward Norton from the Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank.
By the way, there were a couple British guys that did do some really evil things to citizens back then.
Didn't burn down churches, though.
George Washington fought with the British. Somebody said Bruce Dern. You know, shot John Wayne, killed John Wayne.
Yeah, he was a bad guy. I don't remember throughout the movie, was he a guy that you really hated? No. I can't remember.
I'm thinking, when I heard y'all were doing that, I turned on the last few minutes of your last segment, I think of Gene Hackman in The Unforgiven.
He is cutting faces. That's a good one. He was a jerk face.
He was a bad guy.
Yes, sir.
Killed Morgan Freeman. I mean, good grief. Yeah.
We also said Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator. He was a jerk face too.
Hey,
real quick, I do want to say happy birthday to Sherry Martin, 64 from Hot Springs. We missed that yesterday, Roger.
Happy birthday, Sherry.
How could you miss it? Well.
Yes, a lot to keep up with. we do our best. Rick, are you taking any more trips for the summer? What are your summer of adventure? What's involved?
Anything else? Back and forth. You know, David, we've talked about this on our show. Trey Biddy brings it up all the time, especially with Razorback fans. If you're a fan, you're a fan. And you can't get over it. You can't change your loyalty. And the Baltimore Orioles, in the 10 games I've seen this year, are 7-3.
Nice.
In the rest of the season, they're 11 games under 500. So I love going there.
Yes.
And yet I'm sitting there thinking, do I want to watch this team this year? I don't know. So if you're asking me, I may go one more time. I may not. I just don't know. That's my only thought.
We had
a great trip to Florida last week. It was great.
Yeah, how was your trip? It's right. You took a day off.
You know, you take four grandkids. I could tell you a story. You don't have much time.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is a really good story. So our son, Benny, and his wife, Leslie, do fitness training in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of clients. A lot of them in person, a lot of them online.
Right.
He saw a thing from one of these YouTube or Facebook guys and YouTube guys that he's a multimillionaire and he does all these contests. And so he put out a contest that he says, I'm going to give $100,000 to whoever makes the most fitness gains over the next 60 days. And he says, anybody can enter in all this. You got 60 days to do it. Well, one of our grandsons is abnormally heavy. He's 5'6". He weighs 256 pounds. He is 16 years old, and we're all down there together, and Benny immediately said, I think Riley would be the perfect candidate for this. And so Riley's dad is in. He says, I think that's a good idea. So he is going to live with Benny and Leslie for 60 days in Dallas.
Wow.
And he has never done any kind of training in his life. And we saw the video from yesterday. It was his first day. And, I mean, he's on all these things, treadmills, everything else. And the goal is for him to get a little stronger, but to lose 50 pounds in 60 days.
Wow. Okay.
And through nutrition and exercise, they think they can do it.
Wow.
And if they win, it would be, for Riley's family, it would be life-changing.
How old is he, Rick?
50,000. He's 16 years old.
Okay, yeah.
And all these followers, Benny and Leslie have enormous social media following. And they're getting all these, we're for you, come on, Riley, you can make it.
He's getting encouragement.
He's he's never had in his life. So this is really exciting. And so if anybody looks at it, it's Body by Benny.
Benny. Yeah, so that's the name of the social media page?
That's it. Go to Body by Benny on Instagram or Facebook. And you can follow that, and any encouragement would be great. But that's the best story of our trip.
I love that, Rick. Well, I'm glad you had a great trip to Florida and enjoyed family. And we're going to float the buffalo. We're going to go fishing.
Great.
We're not done. We're going down to Cliff Harris's. Speaking of Dirt Winston, we're going to do a show from Cliff Harris's house. Go to Star after that.
From his house. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. He has to lock up a lot of his Cowboys stuff. He better.
And then we're hopefully going to do another show at Terry Bradshaw's ranch. We'll see if he'll let us come down again like we did last year. So, anyway, blessed to do what we do, Rick. And we're having a good time.
We
got a lot of listeners out there. who appreciate us and listen to us, and we're really grateful to them, too. So have a great day.
I don't know if you saw the thing I sent you last night, this morning, about how important it is. Listeners love identifying with the people that are talking live on the radio.
You bet. You betcha. Yeah, Rick was preaching about the value of talent on the air, on-air talent. Mm-hmm. And, yes, and that's been the theory behind our station.
I think James Ballantyne posted something yesterday about
– we're the only station that goes 6 to 7 in the point.
Live.
The live programming, not what do you call it, digitized.
Syndicated.
Syndicated.
Listen, we're like a full-service gas station. Not that many around anymore.
And we're more, that's a good point.
We're
more talent-oriented over here because they play music and they don't have to have as many people – over there, so
right. Taking shots. And you don't have to talk as long.
They don't have to talk as long, man. They got it easy.
Next up, Ambrosia. I'm kidding, Rick. Rick Steele.
Great to have you back, Rick.
Yeah,
right.
We'll talk to you
thanks,
next week.
John, have a super day.
All right. You too.